on a count of 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Leslie O'Hara, we're reading today where the deputy leadership of the Green Party is to be voted on by party members. Nominations have closed, and former Senator Roisin, after Roisin Garvey stood down. The party has one TD presently in the Dáil, obviously, and the party leader, Roderick O'Gorman. The deputy leader, the race there is going to be between Louth councillor Marianne Butler and Dublin City councillor Hazel Chew. You were telling me off air that you would have been upon the opinion that perhaps this is a missed opportunity, maybe to have included somebody rurally based in the party leadership, and as a result of that, it might make the party more attractive to voters in rural areas such as the Northwest.
Yeah, absolutely, John. And I mean, both candidates that are running are, you know, they're excellent people in their own right, and they're excellent communicators. But I feel that there's a need also for perhaps to have two leaders rather than a deputy leader in that. I think they're doing this in other countries as well, because as a small party, they have so much, you know, one leader would have so much to cover in terms of, you know, all the things that have to be, you know, have to be achieved and have been achieved, you know, the likes of Local Link, which has been a fantastic benefit to rural Ireland. And indeed, you know, advances in agroforestry and, you know, other schemes that, you know, were announced during the course of our time in government. But I definitely think that the two candidates need to be further east, need to be further west, because there's so much issues that are particularly important for those of us living in the west and the northwest of Ireland that need to be highlighted. And they need to be highlighted by somebody, you know, in authority. So from that point of view, I think it is a missed opportunity.
As somebody who has contested elections for the Green Party in the Northwest in the past, you know how difficult it is to secure the necessary votes needed there in order, say, for instance, to get a seat on the local authority. And obviously the quality of the candidate is going to be important, but the voter would look at the bigger picture. They'll look at the party as an overall package, and in a lot of instances they'll look and they'll be influenced by who the party leader is. And again, looking at the leadership structure here of the Green Party, there is a severe lack of representation, you would claim, in many rural areas.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are some, you know, there are some shining exceptions to that, such as Malcolm Noonan in Kilkenny and people in Cork and the like. But yeah, there's no doubt about it. There's a need for, you know, more representation that's actually going to highlight the needs. I mean, we as a region are the most underfunded and unrepresentative people in Europe, and that needs to be highlighted and continue to be highlighted by people like the Greens, because there's an awful lot of jobs in green initiatives, you know, whether it be retrofitting of houses, or as I say, the agroforestry or the organic farming. I mean, Leitrim and Roscommon have, and indeed Sligo, have the biggest number of organic farmers in the country, and their needs need to be met as well. And therefore, you need somebody who's definitely locally based.
It's a big task for whoever goes in as deputy leader. Obviously, they'll be potentially maybe being linked in the future with the leadership of the party. Again, as somebody who has been at the coalface and who has contested elections here on the ground, what's the future for the Green Party in 2026 and going forward?
Oh, that's a good question, John. I think a lot of us are, you know, in the party are drawing breath, and you know, it's been difficult, because quite apart from trying to fight an election, we get an awful lot of trolls, we get an awful lot of fake news, you know, and one thing that Eamon Ryan was certainly, you know, not as combative as he should have been was fighting all the false information that was out about us. And I think from that point of view, I think certainly whoever is going to be a deputy leader, or indeed I'd love to see a co-leader, needs to call out all of these, you know, fake issues as they arise, because certainly the overall benefits that the Greens have had in government has been much more on the plus side than any other side. And, you know, there's been lots of money rolling in terms of grants and subsidies and retrofitting and, as I say, green jobs.
And would you be worried, say, for instance, if we use maybe President Trump as an example and his very apparent anti-green agenda, anti-clean environment agenda, for instance, remarks that he made recently on windmills, on the cleaner energy. He seems to be somebody that has very much kicked that to touch when it comes to policy in the United States. Would you be worried that that sets a dangerous precedence that other world leaders could follow?
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, certainly a lot of people have fact-checked what he was saying, and it's total rubbish and total lies to the extent that he was calling out China in terms of windmills. But in fact, China produces over 40% of the wind, of the 40% of their energy comes actually from windmills. They've actually the biggest amount of windmills in the world. He never mentioned solar, which is very interesting. And the amount of solar that's actually popping up is fantastic to see, not just on farms, but also on individuals' houses. And, you know, the Greens certainly led that initiative over the past number of years. So there's a definite need to call them out and to call them out strongly. And I'm glad to see that, you know, many people have done that since his crazy rant in Davos earlier in the week.